Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. That will be the focus of our study today, Genesis chapter 19. And we're going to read. The reading's a little bit long, and I don't apologize for that because I want you to hear from God, not from me. Okay? And so, Genesis chapter 19, we'll begin reading about a careless father in verse 1. Before we do that, I want to share with you and ask you, if you would, please remember Beth and I in your prayers. We're going to be departing this afternoon, going to Kentucky to the National American Baptist Association meeting. And we will drive part of the way there this afternoon and finish the trip tomorrow. And pray for our safety. After that, after the meeting closes at the end of next week, Beth and I are going to take a few days of vacation over into Pennsylvania and enjoy a little time there together. And so just pray for our safety. And most of all, maybe more importantly, pray that a bunch of Baptist preachers can get along and do something for the glory of God at this national meeting. How's that? All right. All right. Let's stand as we turn our attention to the Word of God. May we hear from God today. Verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you may arise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned to him and entered his house. And then he made them a feast, and he baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally." So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." So they pressed. And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to say here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we'll deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But his sons-in-law thought he seemed to be joking. And when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hands, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that they had said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, See, I have favored you concerning this thing also. In that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there. For I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore the name of the city is called Zoar. And the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone, fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that you will reveal yourself through your word to us today. Speak to our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, that we may know how we may serve you upon this earth. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of this life. But most of all, we thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. A careless father. How many fathers do we have? Amen. Do you take your job seriously? I hope so. Because look around. I want to tell you something about, I know about y'all, about you fathers. Y'all got some fine children. Y'all have some fine children. Now listen, if I'm going to preach, I expect some participation, okay? So y'all bring it back, all right? Y'all have some fine children. Oh, now they're not perfect. We know that. They're children, but still, I mean, they're good kids. I look around here and boy, I just think, wow, God, thank you for the families that you have placed in this church. But with the blessings of God come great responsibility. You know? And that responsibility falls upon the father and the mother. And today we're focusing on the father. Father being the head of the house, you are the responsible party in your home, guys. You know this, right? Now we begin in the life of Lot. We begin with the father's blindness. He didn't see what was obvious. The story that we about Lot that we just finished reading, it opens with two angels who are on a fact-finding mission. Now these two angels, just prior to where we started reading, they have left Abraham. And they had shared with Abraham that they were on their way to Sodom to see if the cry of the evil and wickedness of Sodom was really as great as it sounded like it was. And if it was, they were going to destroy that city of Sodom and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Abraham began to deal with them. You remember the story how that Abraham said, but wait, what if there's 50 righteous men in that city? Will you destroy the entire city along with the 50 righteous men? And they told Abraham, well, if there's 50 people, 50 righteous men in that city, we'll not destroy it. Abraham kept on. He said, well, what if there's just short of 50? What if there's 45? Well, if there's 45, we won't destroy. Well, wait a minute. What if there's 40? It would be a shame to destroy the whole city for lack of 5 or 10. And he keeps bargaining with them till he gets it all the way down to 10. And they finally say, look, if there's 10 righteous people, we will not destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Or the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so now they've taken their journey. And they began to enter the city of Sodom. Abraham's nephew, and that's why Abraham went so much trouble to try to convince them not to destroy the city, because he knew his nephew Lot was there. So Lot is at the city gate, and he sees these two approaching, and his first response, he knows who they are. And his first response is he bows down, face to the ground, and honors them and respects them. And then He invites them, listen, you guys come and spend the night at my home. So the angels respond, no, that's okay. We want to stay in the open square. We want to see what the city is really like. God said, but you don't understand. You need to stay in my home. As a matter of fact, it says Lot insisted strongly. The idea there is meaning to push with great force. You know, he said, no, you don't understand. You've got to come to my house. Well, we'll stay here. No, you don't understand. You've got to come to my house. So they finally agree. Lot brings them to his home. And he prepares them a great meal. And before they go to bed that night, a mob outside the house of Lot begins to form. And they begin to shout out, don't, they begin to cry out, bring us those guys who came into your home this evening, that we may know them carnally. You do know the problem at Sodom and Gomorrah, right, was homosexuality, right? You know that, right? Okay? It was an abomination before God then, and it still is today. All right? And so anyway, they stand at the surround Lot's house, and they demand, you bring them out. You bring them out now that we may know them. So Lot sneaks out the door, and he closes the door behind him. And he says, guys, please, do not do so wickedly. He even offered to bring his two daughters out, whom he said had never known a man. Listen, I'll bring my daughters out who have not known a man. You do with them as you will. To every red-blooded dad, that just kind of fires you up, right? And I'm going to touch my daughters over my dead body, right? But Lot knew what was going on. It wasn't that he was a bad father. He knew what was going on with these two angels. And so, as a matter of fact, he says, please, do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they are here. He knows why they're here. And it's not just his responsibility to protect them. Lot knows they are here to see how evil it is, so that, because they're going to destroy the city. And so the mob's response, of course, is look at this. You're a judge. You're acting as a judge before us. You come and you move here to Sodom, and then you begin to act like a judge and condemn us for our lifestyle. Does that sound familiar? You know, anytime you declare, oh, yeah, that's wrong. You know, your fingers pointed. You're a judge. Don't judge me. Listen, I don't have to judge. God is already judged, right? We don't have to worry about declaring what's right and what's wrong. God's already done that. And we do that in a heart of love, okay? But there are standards with God. So anyway, the mob's response is, you come here and you act a holier than thou and begin to judge us. Who do you think you are? I tell you what, we're going to do worse to you than we were going to do to these men. And about that time, a hand reaches out the door of Lot's house, and it's those two angels. They grab him by the collar, and they yank him back into that house, and they close the door. And they strike the mob with blindness. Which is pretty awesome. They strike the mob with blindness so that they cannot even find the door. And eventually they get tired and go home and forget about it. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, number one, Lot knew everything that was going on. He knew who these men were. That's why when they entered the city, he bowed down his face to the ground. He honored them as God's messengers. Lot knew why they were here. He said in verse 8, this is the reason that they come. Lot knows what's going on in Sodom is in direct conflict to godly behavior. Here is my question at this point. If Lot knows all this stuff, why does Lot have his family in Sodom? Okay? Why, Lot, you know everything that's going on. Why do you have your family in Sodom? You see, Lots of man. And as such, he's responsible for the well-being of his family. That includes the physical well-being and the spiritual well-being. And what had happened to Lot is he had turned a blind eye to all the wickedness that was going on around him. And the reason that he turned that blind eye is for the profit, so he could make a good living there. Let me tell you something, folks. Fathers, let me share with you, and I share this with you out of a heart of love. It's not okay to turn a blind eye to what's going on around us. Okay? I started out with, don't you have some good kids? And you do. Amen? All right? But they're your responsibility, dads. Right? It's your responsibility to watch what's going on in their lives. To find out what they're doing, where they're going, and who they're doing what with. Right? It's your responsibility. You're the head of the household. Be the father. Be the man. You're responsible. You're responsible for what goes on in your house. Do you know that? You're responsible for what's played on your television set. If you watch smut movies at your house, don't think that that's not going to sink into your children. If you turn on shows with smut language, don't think that that's not going to sink into your children. As a matter of fact, you better watch what your kids watch. Say, Brother Doug, I don't like those shows. I know, I don't either. I've shared with you before, you go much beyond Andy Griffith, and I'm out, right? I don't get the modern shows. I know I'm old, you know. But as father, monitor what's going on in your home. Whether it's coming in on the TV, or whether it's coming in from your children's friends. Did you know, dads, that you are responsible for the friends of your children? We're going to get real quiet here. But dads, I want to tell you something. It's okay for you to choose your friends, the friends of your children. Not only is it okay, it is your responsibility. Now, children are going to back up and say, who are you? You can't choose my friends. Oh, yes, I can. I'm the dad. I'm the head of this household. As a matter of fact, God has given me a mission. And that mission is to take care of my family. And if that requires that I tell you, you cannot hang around somebody, then that's what I'm going to do because I'm the dad and I love you. Be a dad. Brother Doug, you don't understand. They won't like it. Good. Love them enough to say, you can't go there. You can't hang out with this person. Love them that much. That's love. That's parenting. See, the problem with parenting, we don't want to say no anymore. Listen, when you get to be a grandparent, then you don't have to say no. Until that time, you better tell your kids no. It's your responsibility to say no. Be the dad. Don't turn a blind eye and say, well, I know they really don't need to be doing that. They really don't need to be hanging around with those kids. They don't really need to be watching that on TV. If they don't need to, then be the dad. Turn it off. Even your friends. Dad, they're watching who your friends are. Okay? Well, now, Brother Doug, you know, I said, they're watching who your friends are. And if you bring your friends to your house, your friends at your house better have the same standard that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your kids are going to look at your friends and they're going to base their lives on how you choose your friends, Dad. Oh, listen. Listen. With great blessing comes great responsibility. Do not turn a blind eye. I know it's easy just to kind of dismiss it, but trust me, it will catch up. It will catch up with you. Do not turn a blind eye towards your children. Always keep that father's influence. Listen, the angels, you know, after they pulled Lot back in, that's it. We know, okay, there's not 10 righteous people here. This city's got to be destroyed. Judgment of God's going to be poured out. And the angels asked Lot, they said, have you anyone here Anyone else here? Anyone in your family? Anyone you care about? Whoever you've got here, get them out of this place. It says take them out. The idea of that word take, it means to, okay, you've got to do whatever it takes to get them out. Here's Lot's problem. He's got grown daughters. They live in the homes of their husband, right? So all Lot has left, he has no authority as a father to say, you're going with me at this point. The only thing he has is his influence. And so he takes himself and his influence and he goes to his sons-in-laws and he tells them, look, you got to get out of here. God's about to pour out His judgment upon this city. and it, see, you know what it says? It says, and they thought Lot to be joking. They thought Lot to be joking. Why in the world would they think Lot is joking about this? How did they get there? Well, I'll tell you what. I bet if Lot had offered them some business advice, they'd have listened. Why? Because Lot knew business. He had herds and cattle. And as a matter of fact, he had such herds and cattle, he had to separate from Abraham. I bet if Lot offered them financial advice, they would have listened. Lot came out of Egypt along with Abraham with great riches. They saw and they knew the kind of man that Lot was. But when it came to godly advice, they said, are you kidding? Really? He's not serious. How do you get there? Well, I'll tell you how you get there. You lose your influence. You lose your influence. Guys, fathers, all the fathers, are you listening to me? Say amen if you're listening to me. Do not wait until there is a crisis to be godly. Do not wait till there is a crisis to be godly or God-minded. Why? Because you've waited too long, men. You see, a godly influence, guys, fathers, a godly influence starts when the kids are young. I mean, you better be talking to them about Jesus just as soon as they are young enough to listen. And I'm not talking about bringing them to church, even though you as fathers need to bring kids to church. They need to hear godly things. They need to hear talk about Jesus coming out of your mouth at an early age. That's why Jesus said in the book of Deuteronomy, He was talking to the children of Israel, and He said, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. What is He saying? Talk about God all the time. Share with them a love of Jesus Christ. Guys, they need to see you love Jesus. If they don't see you love Jesus, they're not going to love Jesus. But when you instill it in them, it's a joy to watch those children grow up into adults who love Jesus. Now, one of the things that I enjoy as a pastor is watching kids grow up. It is so cool to watch them start out in the nursery, see them go through the primary and secondary and junior high and teenage class and grow up and get married and see them serve the Lord as adults. That's so cool. But I want to tell you something, that does not just happen. That does not just happen. That happens because mom and dad raises them in church and mom and dad are willing to share with them the importance of Jesus Christ in life. Be a godly influence, men, at an early age. It's okay to pray with your children. Your children need to hear you pray. It's okay to read the Bible with your children. Your children need to hear you read the Word of God. They need to see that you really believe what you say you believe. And if you don't instill that in children when they're young, when they're old, they'll probably not believe you. You know what happened to Lot? Here's what happened to Lot. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and it's talking about God destroying the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And And it says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And he delivered righteous Lot. Y'all knew Lot was a righteous man, right? He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. You know what that word oppressed means right there? It means to wear out. It means to wear down. Have you ever been worn down? That's why kids, you know, they ask you, Daddy, can I? And you say, no. And then they kind of back, please, no. Please, I really want to. This is really important. I said, no. Please, listen, you don't understand. All my friends are going to be there. No. And they keep on, they keep on. You know what they do? What do? They wear you down. And you finally give in. Sometimes dads can be a little bit weak-kneed, can't we? But let's put that on a larger scale. Lot, the righteous man that he was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That means he was worn down. He lived in it day after day. He saw it day after day after day, over and over again. He saw the wicked conduct, and it wore him down. But then look at the next verse. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. That word tormented is an interesting word. It's a word that means to grow weary in rowing. To grow weary in rowing. All right? So here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know what happened to Lot? He got tired of paddling upstream, to put it in our language. He tried, and every day's a battle, and he's trying to keep hold of his kids, and he's trying to influence the community, until he's over and over and over, until he just finally gives up. He became tired of fighting the current. So he just backed off. And because he backed off, he lost his influence with his children and with his sons-in-laws. I want to tell you something, Dad. Sometimes being a dad is tough business. Are you with me? You cannot afford to quit. You cannot afford to back up. You cannot afford to back down. Right? The Bible tells us, do not be weary in well-doing. Keep on keeping on. Yes, sometimes your kids make bad decisions. When they do, you be a father, you be there to pick them up and set them back on the right path. You say, Brother Doug, you don't understand. They make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Then you be father after father after father, and every bad decision they make, you pick them up and set them back on the right path. Don't get tired. You cannot afford to lose. They're too important. See, what most people don't understand, kids are kids. You know what that means? They mess up. And today's kids are surrounded by wickedness that is beyond belief. And they're having to make adult decisions when they're 12, 13, 14 years old. When they're not ready to make those adult decisions, what do they need? They need some dads to stand up and be dads. Remain by their side. Help them make that decision, even when they don't want your help. Amen. You decide for them. I want to tell you something. As a parent, Beth and I went through a bump in the road with one of our children. Boy, it was tough. It was tough. One bad decision after another. We talked and we talked. Until one day, I said, God, I can't do this anymore. And I prayed. And I think I've shared this with you. I prayed, God, when she messes up, I pray she gets caught immediately. And I kept being a father. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit. But I kept being a father. The one thing I did not do was quit. I didn't make all the right decisions. There's one time I grabbed her, and it's the closest I've ever come to child abuse. But boy, she was close to it. We were toe-to-toe. It was all I could do to hold myself. But I want to tell you what I didn't do. I didn't quit. Dads, do not quit. You said, Brother Doug, what happened today? She's a fine young lady. She went and got her degree. She has a really wonderful job, and she's doing well, and I believe she loves Jesus. We got through that because by the grace of God. But I didn't quit. Guys, do not quit. Do not quit. Your child hangs in the balance. You know what else I've discovered? I've discovered it doesn't matter how old they are, they're still my children. And I still want to have a godly influence in their life. Not only did I not quit when it got tough, I'm not going to quit now. Brother Doug, your children in their 30s, you bet they are, and I'm still their daddy. They might not want my advice. And I'm going to try not to be overwhelming or butt in where I don't belong, but I still want to point my children to Jesus. Listen, we can't afford to lose our influence. Honestly, influence is all I've got left. They're kind of big for me to bend over my knee at this point. If we don't combat the blindness, if we don't maintain our influence, beloved, we're going to lose. The angels, the next morning, they had to urge Lot, get out. I mean, that word urge, it means to press to the point of forcing. And it says, while they lingered, Lot didn't want to go. But see, things have gone too far at this point. The angel, it says, took the hands of Lot and his wife and his two daughters and brought them out. Literally, the language is written in a manner in which the angel said, you got to go. Lot says, okay, well, let's wait a little while. You know, I got some things to do. And finally, the angels literally seize their hands and lead or drag them out of the city personally because they weren't moving. They weren't leaving. And the Lord rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And they told them something very important. Don't look behind you lest you be destroyed. Don't look behind you lest you be destroyed. And we know how the story goes, and we read about it. They get out, and it says, excuse me. It says that his wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now, you know, we envision when it says she looked back and became a pillar of salt, that she saw the flames and excuse me. She saw the flames and brimstone and fire coming down out of heaven. And when she saw that, she turned into a pillar of salt. God wasn't saying, God was not saying, I don't want you to see the destruction. That word, look, which he said, do not look behind you. That word, look, means to gaze with admiration, to long for. You know what Lot's wife did? She looked back towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and she longed for what they had and what life was back when they lived in the city. She longed for that lifestyle. She longed, you know, oh man, I just wish we could go back. How many times do we get in trouble by focusing on and emphasizing and even longing for the wrong things? Okay? I want to tell you, the things that we count important, men, women, families, most of the time are not really important. I mean, let's look at the education. Now, listen, kid, your education is important. I'm not saying it's okay to throw off your education. No, okay? But we put so much emphasis on education. You've got to get through high school, get those good grades. Then you've got to go to a good college so you can get a good job. Then you get that good job and you make a lot of money so you can retire wealthy. And then you enjoy retirement. You can take trips and you can do whatever you want to do when you get to that retirement. That's what we all want for our kids. But I want to tell you something. They're going to die. They can't take their education with them. They can't take their job with them. They can't take the money they've earned upon this, you know, in this world with them. The only thing they can take with them is what they send ahead spiritually. Right? So let me ask you, what is the most important thing for our children? The most important thing for our children is God. Right? Ensuring that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That they're saved. Right? That's important. Because one of these days they're going to stand before Him. Being taught the ways of Jesus. That's important. Because they're going to have to live in a world that says if it doesn't hurt anybody else, it's not wrong. Well, I want to present to you, that's just crazy. Because you can't do something without hurting somebody. You can't live immorally and not break somebody's heart. Listen, we've got to equip our kids more so now than ever. And it's our job as parents. Dads, please be dads. Don't look at... You know what I've discovered? At this age, the things that I thought were so important when I was 30 years old don't amount to anything. Oh, I was, you know, working hard and doing all this and making a living... I don't even care now about the stuff I cared about then. You know what I care about now? I care about representing my Savior, Jesus Christ. I care about pointing my kids toward Jesus Christ and my grandkids. I care about pointing Victory Baptist Church toward Jesus Christ. Because I figured out that's what's important. That's what's important. Listen. Don't waste your time longing for the wrong things. When God said, I've come that you might have life and have it more, what? Abundantly. God says, I want to give you the good life. Oh, Lot lost. He lost his wife. He lost kids. Man, what a price to pay. Challenge to you today. Dads be dads. All right? Stand when you have to. Always love. Always love. Even when you're standing. Point your kids toward Jesus. That's your job. That's your job. Be a father. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you. If you're not saved, you're not going to be a father. Why? Because you've not committed to anything. You're unstable in all your ways. Yeah? According to the book of James. Here's the thing. I've also come to the conclusion to be a father, I had to have the help of God. I had to have God's help. Because He was the great Heavenly Father. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand this. God the Father showed His love towards you. And that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Christ, Jesus Christ. He gave His Son to die upon the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt so that you could call upon Him. And in faith, believing in His death, burial, and resurrection, today's alive so that you could have eternal life. Are you a child of God? Maybe you're here and there's another need. Maybe you need to follow the Lord's scriptural baptism. Maybe, Dad, is the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church and your kids need to see you take that public stand, you know? Whatever that public stand is, I often hear people say, "Oh, Brother Doug, I'm afraid to be public. I don't want to walk down that aisle. I don't want to get in front of people." Listen, listen. Your kids need to see you be public. They need to see you take your public stand for Jesus Christ. Friends, I love you. More importantly, God loves you. Let's be fathers. Let's be mothers. Let's be families that God has called us to be. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for this time in Your Word. And Lord, may we never be careless. As parents, as grandparents, help us to faithfully point our children toward Jesus Christ. To continually take our stand publicly for You so that our children, our grandchildren, and all the world may know that You are our God, our Lord, our Savior. Now, Lord, in this invitation, I pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.